All right, we're going to transition to the message. This is what we'd call a hard transition because it goes from a fairly difficult and heavy topic to, I don't know if it's lighter in nature or anything like that, but definitely a transition. So if you'll join me in making that transition, I'd appreciate it. This Sunday, before all the events took place, we were planning on giving you all an update for a little bit of the stuff that took place this summer, and specifically some of us that had made trips over the course of this summer. Here at Redeemer, we had a few folks that, serving God, had felt the call to go to different places. Some were Haiti, some were Guatemala, some were Alaska. And we want to make sure several of you that couldn't go on the trip still supported us in different ways, and we want to make sure we gave you an update on how that went and what took place there and how God was working. So we were going to do that this Sunday. We were planning on that before all this took place, on planning on doing that. We'll still do that. Now, this Sunday is a tricky Sunday. Because sometimes when you give people an update on a mission trip, it turns into like a PBS special, you know, Travels in Europe with Rick Steves or Travelogue or something like that. You know, show you 364 pictures about, well, here's what dinner on the second night looked like, you know, and stuff like that. We're going to try to be pretty intentional. We'll give you just the basics of what we did and spend more time reflecting on what God did on this trip. And hopefully it's a challenge to you for doing that. This morning we're going to talk about Guatemala and we're going to talk about Alaska. There's also a trip to Haiti, except we also sort of previously covered the trip to Haiti. So nothing against Haiti, nothing like that. But you guys got your service coverage at this point. So Guatemala and Alaska get their time at this point as well. I'd like to invite Megan Hull and Jake Petty to come up and join me. And we're going to share a little bit about what went on. And you can pray a special prayer over our PowerPoint person that has the most difficult task of the worship service today, as being on top with that PowerPoint. So we'll do that real quick. We're going to start. We're going to do two things. We will give you a visual overview of what we did. I'll talk first about Guatemala, and Jake will talk about Alaska. And then after that, we'll have some reflections from Jake and from Megan, and then we'll pray and close the service. Let me grab Jake a mic for when he'll need it in just a second. All right, so first, Megan and myself, the first week of July, headed to Patzacia, Guatemala. I'll tell you a little bit of the backstory on that. We have a church in our denomination called Life Church in Houston, Texas, that had been going to Guatemala for 16 years. Now, the church existed. It wasn't part of the Evangelical Covenant Church, our denomination, but it joined the denomination a few years ago. And this past year, some members of our denomination said, hey, we know you go to Guatemala every year. Would you be willing to go to a different site in Guatemala where we've had this partnership with this church for years? And they said, hey, we're willing to do that. Not only are we willing to do that, we will invite some other churches in the Texas area. Texas area, it's a big state, quite a big area, but in Texas, to join us. And so as a result, four covenant churches from Texas, two in Houston, one in Austin, and us here in Dallas, were a group of about 35 people that took this trip to Patzacia, Guatemala. From Redeemer, it was myself and Megan. For me, I felt the strong call, having practiced Spanish for a little bit, that I wanted to practice it as best as I could. Megan probably went because she wanted to share the gospel or something like that. Something different than what I wanted to do, so she had better heart attitude or something like that. It was unique. It was a trip that actually some families went on as well. So we had kids on our team, adults on our team, all ages, all races, all ethnicities on this particular team. We went to Patzacia, Guatemala, a town of 17,000 people, about 3 hours out of Guatemala City. You go to the next slide, please. And then one more, Kathy. We linked up with two churches while we were there. The first is Iglesia La Vida y La Verdad, and that's where we did some work on worship and with children's ministry there. And then in another church, we did an after-school program each and every day while we were there, and that was the other church, Club Samuel. What types of tasks did we take on? Well, a little bit of everything. First, next slide, please. We had some teaching, worship, and study. So we led one worship service and played a prominent part in another. We held an evening of seminars, basically Bible studies that we led with the Guatemalans. For those of you that were part of the Wednesday night Book of Job Bible study, that material that we went through together is what I taught that night. And we even had other opportunities. The picture you see, we held a cultural fest. And at the end of the cultural fest, one member of our team gave her testimony. She's in the center and you can see all the folks that are standing around here. So worship, teaching, and study. Next, we did construction. Took on about 3 or 4 construction projects. Some of the construction was basic cinder block and mortar stuff. Others was a little more interesting. Some green and sustainable projects like water collection or solar power, solar electricity for the homes. For example, that's the plot I worked on. That was a construction project where a family that was in one room got a second room on their house so they could spread out a little bit. When I say family, I don't just mean like parents and kids, but like parents and aunties and grandparents and cousins and all that stuff. So give them some more space to do. Third, in the next slide, we did kids ministry. Our very own Megan Hull took the lead on that one, did a fantastic job with that. We had two Saturday events at the church where hundreds of kids showed up, and we had a carnival and lessons and all that good stuff. And then each and every day we had an after-school program with a theme of superheroes. And so they had a Bible lesson, followed that up with sports, cooking, and arts and crafts. And you can see an example of us at work there in the kids' ministry. And then the final phase was home visits or relationships. So while we were there, we took the opportunity to visit some members of the church that were either sick or poor or otherwise unable to get to the church, visit them and bless them with the gospel. As well as the philosophy of the church of the group we went with was that every person stayed with someone from the church. So we didn't stay in hotels or anything like that. We stayed with cold showers on air mattresses with members of the church. And I believe this is your family you stayed with, Megan. Either that or you photobombed a random group of Guatemalans in that case. But this is your family you stayed with as well. And so we made those connections. And then the final piece that we did was football. So this was the women's game of football. The Americans are on the right side. The Guatemalans are on the left. That's during the national anthem. You can tell based on the confusion of the Americans that we lost big time with all the events that we did. So just a quick overview of what we did, and in just a few moments I'll have Megan give her reflections, but I'm going to turn things over to Jake, share a little bit about the Alaska trip.
This has been in the works for about a year now. Felt like God was calling me to Alaska, and I made a trip last year, and I did a few things, kind of got the dirty work out of the way, worked on a sewer line and all that fun stuff, but they needed a team to come up there and basically rebuild the entire side of part of the church. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go up here. I'm going to go to the middle of nowhere. And I don't know who's going to go with me. And God really provided a team for me. So if you want to go to the next slide. So where is Bethel? It's in the Yukon Delta here. And it's actually a service hub for over 50 villages. And the only way to get there is either by plane, which is usually a combi, so half of the plane is cargo, so you get in the back of the plane, or by boat. So it's off the Kuskokwim River, which is a really big river, and I've had the opportunity to see it both in summer and winter, so it's kind of neat because it's a highway in the wintertime, a nice highway. Anyways, so I had a team of three other guys, Joe Davis, Lee Norwood, which is Kathy Joyner's son, I don't see Kathy today, and my Uncle Glenn. So there's just some quick facts about Alaska. You want to advance the next slide? Okay, so these are the projects we worked on. Here in the upper left, that's the siding that we replaced. It was T-111. It was all rotted out because whoever installed it in the first place didn't get the water flashing correct. So water was just infiltrating behind it, and they had mold and rot, and it was pretty bad. Another thing that we were able to accomplish is they thought that because of the water infiltration that their floor in their youth building was starting to sag, which is like, it's bad because it's all pier and beam, and if a kid fell through the floor, it's like an 8-foot drop. I mean, it's bad. So we investigated it and realized that there was actually a central heating and air at one point. And there's just no supports for the floor, so we were able to fix that. And then here is the front of the building on the right side, those two images. So I said I was there last summer. One of the problems that they had is because of the permafrost, all their pipes have to be exposed. Like everything is pier and beam. Well, at minus 40 in the wintertime, when the wind blows across those pipes, it gets pretty cold. And it doesn't matter what's in there. It freezes if the wind's blowing too fast. So we were able to install the skirting around the building to help prevent that, so that way they don't have any other nasty problems occur. Next slide. So in addition to working on the church, I mean, I'm pretty bare bones when it comes to, like, mission trips. I just want to do the work. That's what I'm there for, right? But we had the opportunity to hang out with Pastor Aaron. He's on the top left here. He's the youth pastor. And Pastor Hugh is here with his entire family on the right. And they're really great covenant pastors. When I was up there in March, I felt like I wasn't really up there to do work. I was just there for them. It was really great to have some fellowship with them again. We were also able to play a game with Lee. He taught us Settlers of Catan. It was a lot of fun. So if you've ever played it, it's a blast. And then we were able to help out with a covenant camp up there called Camp Hope. It's down the river from the town. And what they do is they teach the kids how to subsistence live in Bush, Alaska. So they teach them how to fillet fish and how to dry them. And, they're in a tent all week. We hung tents. There must have been, I guess, 4 or 6 of those big army tents. And that's a lot of work, hanging tents in the tundra. Everything's squishy and you're sinking in mud. Next slide. So when we got there, we didn't have all the materials we needed. There's just a lot of things that could have gone wrong, like that didn't, but God worked through it all. We had more than enough materials to finish our job and do well beyond what they expected. And then in addition to that, with the extra time that we had, the pastor organized one of the parishioners there actually owns his own plane. He's got a bush plane. And so he organized that on our last day there, we went on a bush plane out to the mountains and landed on a mountaintop. So we got to do some fun stuff too. It was really great to be able to bless the people that came on the trip with me in that capacity. So that's it.
Thank you, Jake. Megan, I'm going to ask Jake to give the microphone to you. We'll transition. That was what was done at the two places. Megan, can you offer your reflections on what God did or what you noticed on the trip?
Yeah. Okay. So for me personally, it was a chance to really grow. So it's kind of the theme that I kind of came home with, how I'm really going to be able to live out my faith even more here at home. And how do you live on mission? That was kind of what we were talking about throughout the trip. We studied as a group every night together after the events of the day. We studied through the book of Galatians. And at first, Dale Lusk was with us, and he led the first few nights. Then after that, we had 5 pastors with us. So spiritual formation was not a small thing. It was every day you had a chance to be growing in your faith. And so one of the verses that really identify with the most from Galatians was out of Galatians 3:27, and it's that you clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. So it's that you walk around all the time with Jesus with you. It's not something that you just like leave in your closet or just like when you say like Jesus take the wheel. It's all the time, every day you're wearing Jesus. And so that's a huge thing for me. But I have like a kind of funny story about growing and that I just said I would share today. We went on a home visit, and that seems like kind of growing enough on its own. But when you're there, we went in teams, and it was just me and one other American and then about 5 Guatemalans with us on the trip. We went about 25 minutes outside of Patzazia. So it was a really poor, really, really like destitute area. And the home we were in was right next to a woodworking shop, and everyone that lived in the home worked in the woodworking shop. And the mom was actually at work when we first arrived. So her kids made us a little meal, like a treat, and I was really scared to eat it because you're not supposed to drink the water there, and it's like a lot of other things. And so I just prayed, like, Lord, just help me grow here to eat this food that they provided for us. And so I ate it, and it was actually kind of good. And then we went on a walk while we were waiting for the mom to come home, or walking. There's a bunch of sticks outside of the woodworking shop. And the guy that we were with, the other American, kept asking, what are these sticks? But no one knew what they were. There were just tons, like hundreds, thousands of sticks on the ground. So when the mom finally comes home from her job, we go back together, we pray for her. And then the man keeps asking her, like, what are the sticks for? And she tells him, oh, that's easy. They're for the Choco bananas. We sell them to the village, and then they make the Choco bananas, which are like frozen bananas on a stick. And those are the sticks. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I've seen them on the ground. I am not doing that. So I prayed on the way home, like, Lord, I don't want to grow anymore. I'm over it. Like, so then we get back to the home I'm staying in. And the woman is so happy because we've been coming home only at night. in the evenings, but we got home early, and me and the other two girls we were with in the home, and she was so excited to see us that she ran out the door and went to the market and bought choco bananas right then. And I was like, now I have to do this twice in one day. I had to eat the choco bananas. But I did eat it. It was actually super delicious, but the whole time I was just thinking that I saw the sticks on the ground. So, yeah, but it was an opportunity for me to grow and to have the relationship with people despite my fears and the things that, you know, prevent you from interacting with other people. And the last thing is just that intentionality is the other thing that I've learned, is to really be super intentional. In Guatemala, you had to be that way because you didn't know anyone. And I don't speak Spanish, so Pastor Mark's been practicing Spanish. I haven't really. I mean, I have Rosetta Stone, but barely ever use it. So I stayed in a home, and the people, they only spoke Spanish, and none of the girls in the home, none of us spoke Spanish. So we had to be really intentional about how we interacted with them and the things that we were able to communicate. And so just bringing that home, and like on the trip, it was easy to find your quiet time with God because everyone was doing it all the time. So like the roof of the church was super beautiful. So people would just go up there all the time and read the Bible and pray. But when you're at home, it's a lot harder to find that time. But I would like to say that every day since the middle of the trip, I found that time to be with God every single morning. I'm not a morning person, but I just thought, I'm going to do this. And so I'll confess that to you now that I'm going to keep doing that. So if you want to ask me how it's going, that would be awesome. But yeah, just being intentional with your relationships with other people.
Thanks, Megan. And Jake, any thoughts, any reflections from you? Am I putting you on the spot?
No. So one of the things going on my trip was, you know, all right, I'm going to get to do, you know, construction. This is right in my wheelhouse. Like, I know how to use a saw. I know how to use a nail gun. Like, I've got this. And the first day, you know, you kind of get a rhythm with the people you're working with. And God love him, but Lee, he was like, over on the saw, you go to pick up the saw. He come over and be like, nope, I got it. And he'd be doing everything for you. And I just had to learn to step back and just be okay with just being the as my brother calls it, the gopher. And so, and you know, it's that was okay with me, and it was a good experience for all of us because everybody that went is very strong in their faith, and they say iron sharpens iron. Well, I'm a firm believer in that because me and Lee debated about biblical things till about 2 a.m. in the morning every night. So it's just great to have that time with each other and grow off each other. So.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Megan and Jake, for sharing. What's that? A couple of reasons we did want to do this. We do want to lay the groundwork for next year and encourage some of you to maybe pray and think about going on a trip next summer. And we were thinking we'll go to some of these places. I'm pretty sure about Guatemala. We think Haiti, too. We're not sure about Alaska. We want to let that take place right now, take root right now. What are you doing next summer? We want to make sure to share that. The other thing we do want to share, though, is I realize on Sundays like this, there can be a disconnect because what happens is you hear the stories and you feel like, man, all those people that traveled so far, they did the mission work, and here I am back in my normal routine, my normal life, and I'm not really doing missions or anything like that. And nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, me, Megan, and Jake all talked about this, is the one thing we didn't want to do is convey like, hey, look at the great stuff we did on missions and you guys were back here the whole time or anything like that. So let me, as Megan mentioned, let me read you some words from Galatians chapter 6. And again, this will not be a normal-sized message. This will be a mini-message, so you'll get out of here on time. But let this be your thought as you leave this place. And as we've talked about both the missions, but also we've talked about race in America, these seem like fitting words. Here we go. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Let me read that second part again. Let this sink in. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people." My reflection from the trip was I needed that necessary reminder that God is always at work, even beyond my stereotypes. So let me share with you just a couple quick stories that happened to me while I was in Guatemala. First, on the very first day, we had a fantastic kids ministry taking place in the parking lot of the church. And at one point, I needed to run and grab something from the room we were using in the back of the church, so I ran through the sanctuary, got it, was coming back, and I saw a member of our team that was sitting reading a book quietly all by herself. And in a moment, two things hit at that very moment. As I was walking by, two things hit. The first was, you should go say hi. Everyone's getting to know each other. Maybe she's lonely. Maybe she's scared. Just go say hi. Introduce yourself. Make her feel welcome. As soon as I said that, another voice, like almost the little, you know how the little angel and the little devil talks to you on your shoulders? Another voice said something like this. No, you're here for the Guatemalans. You're not here for the Americans. You're here for the Guatemalans. That's the mission field. So initially, I listened to that little voice. I kept walking out of the sanctuary, but I had this begrudging feeling in the back of my mind like I was doing something wrong. Finally, I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, what should I do? He said, turn and look at what she's reading. I read what she's reading, Jane Austen's Persuasion. Now, that hit me. Unfortunately, it hit me. It shouldn't hit me, but unfortunately, it hit me. And the reason is this. Last year, I made a pledge to read all the Jane Austen books, not because I like Jane Austen. I'm a dude. I don't like Jane Austen. But I wanted to expand my horizons. So if there was ever a perfect author for me to dialogue with this young woman about her book, this was it. And so I walked up to her and I said, oh, I see you're reading Persuasion. Did you like that better than Pride and Prejudice? Why or why not? And we talked for the next 20 minutes. And throughout the time, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, but this is not who I'm supposed to reach out to. The real mission field is out there. No, no, no. Galatians 6, chapter 9. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to those we can. Story number two, real quick. We stayed with families. I didn't bring my family. I was just winging it all by myself. But I stayed with the pastor and his two kids. Right? There'd be times I'd come home to the guests, the home, and we'd be staying there, and I'd be thinking mentally, well, these are my hosts, so I need to be talking with them. But you know how kids are. If you start talking to the host about what kind of car they have, the kids chime in with what kind of car their parents drive. If you talk with the host about what they do in their free time, the kids chime in with what they do in their free time. And mentally, in my mind, I know this is awful, but I'm thinking to myself, hey, these kids, I'm not here for them. I'm here for the family. God, I'm here to do missions. Why do you have these kids with me? And then halfway through it dawns on me, Galatians 6, 9, no, as you have opportunity, do good to those around you. So there'd be times I'd talk with my host family, and other times I'd be saying, so what grade are you in? What's your favorite subject in school? What's going on in your life? And making sure to be a blessing to them. One more story, kind of an embarrassing one, but one more story. You saw the construction site we were on. That first day, we went full speed on the cinder blocks and mortar, did all sorts of work. We're doing a great job, high-fived each other, the great work we were doing. The next morning, Tuesday morning, we were ready to take up the project again. And somebody in our little circle, there was three or four of us that went to that particular project, somebody said, hey, did anyone get the name of the people whose homes we're working on? Awkward, eerie silence. Well, what about the wife? Did anybody know the wife's name or the kid's name or anything? No. We knew what we needed to do to build the project, but we had totally forgotten to just simply say hi to these folks and connect. And so we took a moment right then and there to pray and say, hey, Lord, it's not just about the construction project. It's about meeting these faces and names as well. Galatians 6, 9. Therefore, as you have the opportunity, let us not cease in doing good to other folks. You know, the problem with something like this is they call it a mission trip. As opposed to what you do throughout your daily life isn't mission, but then when you get on an airplane to some of these special places, all of a sudden that's a mission. It's not a mission trip. It's a trip. Drop the mission out of it. Life is a mission. God has called us on mission at all times and in all places. So I just want to encourage you, for anyone in here, I hope that you pray about next summer and maybe going on one of these trips, not mission trips, but trips. The reason I pray that is because I think you have the opportunity to bring the gospel across barriers. I think you have the opportunity to see God take you out of your comfort zone and challenge you in a great and fantastic way. But should you not go on one of these trips, I want to simply remind you of this. VBS is a wonderful ministry, but your kids aren't being formed just at VBS. They're being formed when they listen to you as you drive the car. Hearts and Souls is a fantastic ministry. But the only time we have to reach out to the community isn't just this one Sunday a year. It's every single day. Home visits are a fantastic time to listen to somebody and hear about how their faith is doing. But you know what? If your coworker opens up, doesn't matter if at your work, it's still an opportunity to share the gospel. Therefore, when we have the opportunity, let us not cease to do good. Redeemer, we're going to close our worship service today. Again, I give you this challenge. Next year, as you think of Haiti, as you think of Guatemala, we're not sure about Alaska, but whatever the mission, it might be something I don't even know about yet. I encourage you to pray about it. Before in your mind you say, oh, it's too expensive, or I've never traveled that far, or whatever, ask God, can I be used in this context? And then finally, whether you go or whether you don't go, I challenge you again with these words. You have the opportunity right in front of you. Can you do good as Galatians calls you to do? Let's close with a word of prayer. We invite the praise team to come up for the final song, and let's close our worship service today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you give us these opportunities to travel the world, that the distance St. Paul traveled in the New Testament can be covered in, what, 2 hours via flight today. And there's places we could never imagine going through technology and through your Spirit we can go to now, and we praise you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would help us be a people that goes for the gospel, that we're willing to share it in places it's not being shared, that we're willing to bring healing in places not being healed. We pray for sort of the stereotypical mission where you go someplace and you have a VBS or you have an evangelism event. We also want to pray for places like Charlottesville where it might not seem at first like it's related to evangelism, but then if we think of the truth of thy kingdom come and the power of the gospel, we know that it could use a word from you and the hope from you. Pray for this room, Lord, more than anything, that you would help them understand that you are not limited to their mental conceptions of where the mission is, but you are calling them and using them constantly in whatever aspect of their lives they are in right now to share your gospel. We would praise you for that, but we would also ask that your Holy Spirit would give us eyes to see. Help us follow you, Lord. And if that's calling you to go afar, we will do that. If that's calling you to stay close, we will do that. Wherever it is, we will seek your face, seek the opportunity to do good to others. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for offering us new life. And we pray, Father, that you would help us as you've called us to this mission of serving you. Help us live it out wherever we are. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.